Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this community and wellbeing, and a special welcome to our guest, Chief Inspector Charles Parsons. Welcome, Giles. It's good to see you again. Thank you. Can you all make sure that your telephones are switched off, please, or on silent? Thank you very much. Right, the first item on the agenda is the minutes. Is anybody happy with the minutes that was presented? Yeah? Can I sign them? The true record. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. Right. Item number three. Item number two. Apologies.
Okay. So, Councillor Barron, Councillor Rose substituted by Councillor Uxell, Councillor Nixon substituted by Councillor Peter Edgeler, and the Cabinet Member Ian Fordham.
Okay. Thank you very much. Public questions. Item three.
None, Chair.
None. Councillor Sessions, nothing? No. Right. So now we'll go on to item five.
Yeah, we're going to do the presentation first.
Which is the health and care, sorry?
The community wellbeing partnership.
Oh, you want to do that one first, yes. We're going to take the agenda out of order, actually. So we're going to have the presentation by Chief Inspector and Anna. Thank you very much. Thank you. Taking it out of order because I think Chief Inspector needs to get away. All right. You want to get out of our clutches, I know.
Well,
let me get that for you. Okay, so, right, over to you, please. Thank you.
We obviously here a year ago talking about the work we've done in the last financial year. So this is very much an overview of what we've been doing this year. I suppose just a reminder to start with, this is the work of the Community Wellbeing Partnership. That is the statutory community safety partnership and also what was Stafford's Health and Wellbeing Board. About 5 or 6 years ago we brought the two together given that the issues around community safety, crime, health inequalities are all very, very closely linked. So that's very much what the background to the group and the board. So if we just look at this first slide, every year we get an assessment from the Commissioner's Office setting out what our priorities are for the borough. And if you look at the chart on the left, that sets out the priorities for the Community Wellbeing Partnership, and you can see those, I'm going to read them for you. And also then on the right is the Police and Crime Commissioner priorities. So the work we're trying to do on the community safety side in particular is try to address these priorities that we've been given as a partnership.
Okay, so you may recall from last year's presentation, we said we were going to focus on specifically around Stafford Town Centre and around an area we call Stafford South, which is sort of Riverscott, Highfields, Weston Downs, that general area. And that was based on the statistics and vulnerability on those two areas. So what you've got here is the town centre crime information. So you'll see on there, overall, it is a reduction of 9%. And you've got there the total number of crimes on the right that have happened in the town centre. Highlights, I'm obviously not going to go through all of the areas, but highlights, we've had a reduction in robbery, a reduction in shoplifting, a reduction in other violence and less serious violence. Probably the one that I want to particularly focus on where we have seen some increases is around more serious violence. And some of that, although not all of it I would add, is associated with the nighttime economy. So that's going to be one of our focuses moving forward. It probably is worth saying that the town centre crime statistics do not just cover the town centre. So there is a wider area. It isn't just the high street, if you know what I mean. There is a wider area included in that. Some of the residential areas on the outskirts, St George's is included in it, for example. So it isn't just specifically the town centre itself. What I would say, I mean, I'm going to talk through the data, and then we're going to go on to tell you what we're going to do about it. So obviously I appreciate there will be questions and there will be things that you all want to ask, but it may be that I plan on covering those later, if you see what I mean. So I'm forgetting forgetting that I need to click it on. If we move on to antisocial behaviour, we have seen a 19% reduction in Stafford Town Centre around antisocial behaviour, which is one of the greatest reductions in fairness in the whole of Staffordshire. It is a really good reduction. I mean, that said, I do acknowledge definitely that obviously not all antisocial behaviour will be reported to the police. It's just as important to me around, you know, and to us around the look and feel of the place and the experience that people have when they come into the town. The other thing with crime and antisocial behaviour statistics as well, that I do always give a little bit of caution to them, because sometimes background information changes and you're not entirely comparing like with like. And obviously, if you had a bad year last year, the next year is likely to be better. They do naturally fluctuate. So I do give some caution. They are one area. They are an indicator, but they don't always mean everything. And that's where I say, you know, the experience people get and the feedback that we get from the businesses and the people using the town, people such as yourselves, you know, is just as important as the data. So,
sorry, Chair. Yeah. Do you want to ask questions at the end?
Question, yes, please, at the end. Thank you.
So if I move on to Stafford South crime, Stafford South crime is very stable. We haven't really seen any changes at all. I mean, it shows a 2% increase on there, although I did look today and it was zero. It was normative, it's exactly the same. But I'm picking up minute details there. Robbery is down. Shoplifting has gone up in this area. Other violence is down. Less serious violence is down. The more serious violence have gone up slightly on that area. And then for antisocial behaviour in this area, again, we've got a 16% reduction, which is sort of in line with the trend across Stafford Borough as a whole. But again, like I said earlier, we are a local policing team area of borough that is seeing some of the best reductions in antisocial behaviour across the whole of Staffordshire. But that said, like I say, it's an indicator.
Okay, so what have we been doing about it? We get funding from the Police and Crime Commissioner, a couple of different funding streams here. So if you look at the ASB funding to start with, we have replaced CCTV cameras in areas in particular where we've got particular issues. We've maybe got them installed or replaced in other areas as well. We've got ring doorbells in place for areas where we need them, and also the PSPO, which you all have known was renewed last year, came through Cabinet. We've had signage put up about that, so that people know what they can do and where they can do things and what they can't do, rather. We also get locality deal funding as well from the Commissioner's Office. And these are the schemes that we've funded again this year. Most have been rolled over from the previous year because they were working so well. So a lot of you, I'm sure, have heard about the Right Stuff Boxing, the success that they have in some of the schools they go into. We fund Resolve around substance misuse, YouthNet around youth diversionary schemes. Sanctuary Scheme is something about, well, tackles domestic abuse and keeping people safe in their homes. And again, what Giles was saying about the nighttime economy, we fund the taxi marshals to ensure people keep safe at night going home after a night out in Stafford. We've also had funding for safety of women and girls at night, which we work alongside Staffordshire Women's Aid to deliver as well.
Okay, so these have been some of our key areas of focus. And some of this is based, again, on the feedback that we're getting from the community and on the things that we're seeing, particularly in the town centre, that we think we need to focus on to improve safety and improve the appearance of the town and the experience when people visit. We've done a lot to try and increase our visibility in the town centre. Anna's touched on some of the assistance from the PSPO and some of the improved signing that we've seen. We've also been trying to do a lot of work to target some of the repeat offenders and some of the repeat individuals that cause antisocial behaviour problems in the town. And also working with some key partners around social care, violence reduction team and the youth offending service to try and address the vulnerability and resolve the issues that some young people have that can contribute to them coming to our attention. So that work is going to continue. We've done a lot of work with the council focusing on graffiti and trying to improve the look of the town. Street scene and the borough council have very much coordinated this. We have prosecuted a number of people around graffiti offences, and this is something that we think is important to try and continue and maintain, because it does affect the experience people have and the, like I say, the look and feel of the town when people visit. We've done and continue to do a lot of work around drugs enforcement and exploitation. So we do run regular targeted operations. An example, in January, we had 7 arrests, £13,000 worth of cash and drugs recovered. And we did a lot of work with partners around that in terms of looking at potential exploitation around some of the children involved. We do see an issue, which I think is repeated in a lot of areas, where children will be exploited on occasions to supply drugs. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a problem obviously that we can't solve on our own, and it's something where we need to work with our key partners to try and resolve those underlying issues. And we often end up in a situation where we will have children that are committing offences, but we also need to treat them as victims and prioritise safeguarding them as well. So it's that balance between safeguarding them and also preventing their offending and continuing impact on the community. Some of the key areas, I can't not mention the approach to homelessness and certainly the Turning Point Initiative, which I do think has had a really significant impact in reducing some of the crime and antisocial behaviour in the town centre. And I mean, I don't know whether Anna, you want to make any comments on that?
I think it's a very ambitious project. I think we talked about this last year. It's 6 beds of high-level supported accommodation for long-term rough sleepers who were caused a lot of the issues in the town centre. It hasn't been without its challenges. It has been a really difficult project to get up and running and to keep going, but some of the successes have been absolutely amazing. People who've been homeless for 10 plus years who are now living in settled accommodation, who are seeing a lot of their vulnerabilities reduced and obviously offending completely gone in some cases, much lower in others as well. So it's one of those projects that, you know, we keep investing a lot of resource in. We've got government funding for another year to carry it on. So very much absolutely key to ending rough sleeping in Stafford and hugely successful.
It is a really positive initiative. The next one that we've been very focused on is around retail crime. We're obviously very focused on the impact of this around businesses and you know, the impact it has on them in terms of their ability to earn and their business and how they operate. We've done a lot of proactive operations in the build-up to Christmas and since Christmas. We're using criminal behaviour orders to focus on repeat offenders. We do get some repeat shoplifters that target the businesses in the area, and we find that what criminal behaviour orders enable us to do is, one, restrict them from entering the town and entering certain shops when they're offending. But also, when they do breach them, if they do breach them, it gives far greater sentencing powers to the courts, and we find the courts treat breaches of them far more seriously than they do shoplifting. But we are planning on continuing that work. We want to make sure we work closely, obviously, with the Partnership Against Business Crime in Staffordshire, which we have in our town centres, and also with the town centre partnerships, you know, which we've got in Stafford and also in Stone. The last one is the nighttime economy. We have always run safer nights operations and focused on our visibility within the town centre. And, you know, the key role that it's played, certainly by the Borough Council and some of the initiatives that Anna's already mentioned, really does help and support us. We are keen on, I know at the moment a cumulative impact assessment is being looked at for Stafford Town Centre. We are keen on this being brought in because it will help to regulate new premises and also support regulation of premises that want to increase and extend their hours. So we are keen on that being brought into place. We are looking at doing more proactive operations around some specific premises that we know are associated with some of the incidents that we have in the town and some of the violence in the town. And we are looking at being, over the coming months, a little bit more intrusive in, and proactive in our approach around them. Right, okay. So we have had some challenges over the last 12 months since we spoke to you. Like, I'll explain what they mean, don't worry.
Oh, no, I'm looking at them. Can we win?
Yeah, I will. It might have been better, to be fair. I'll take responsibility. It might have been better if I explain that in simpler terms.
Please do.
I will move on to that. But no, the point here is that we have had some challenges that have come about through spontaneous events where we've obviously had to react to them and make sure we work in partnership to resolve those issues. So the top one is some of the issues that we've had in Stone, around Stone Town Centre and around Westbridge Park. I know some of you will be more familiar than others around them. We have had some challenges around drug supply, exploitation, children being used to supply drugs, like I touched on earlier, and also some impacts around antisocial behaviour and also some violence, which I've no doubt some of you will have seen, some social media and possibly some articles in the press around. We have got the support of an investigation team and a senior investigating officer looking at those exploitation and drug supply issues. So we have made 17 arrests in relation to them over 2 days of action. And we have got numerous suspects on bail with conditions in place while those investigations continue. We've done a lot of work to increase our visibility and make sure we're taking positive action to deal with youths causing antisocial behaviour and violence in the town. And to make sure I use the word target, but it's kind of target and support. So as I touched on earlier, we have the impacts of behaviour that cause antisocial behaviour, that cause violence, but we also need to address those underlying vulnerabilities and things that are causing those children perhaps to be put in those situations or to behave in that way. So we have got a really good partnership approach with Children's Services, with a violence reduction team that will work with those children and try and sort of work through the problems and issues that they've got and try and educate them to change their behaviour. We're also doing a lot of work with some of the local schools in Stone. We've got a really good supportive relationship with the high school in the area. We do joint patrols with safeguarding leave from the area, which we've had some really good positive feedback around. And we found some of the children will react more positively when they see us patrolling with the safeguarding leave, because they're like, wow, she knows who we are, and we see her, and you know, they're going to have implications at school. So some of those initiatives have worked really well, and we're going to continue with them. We are also doing a lot of work to engage with the community, to keep them updated on what we're doing, and obviously to try and reassure them, because we do appreciate, you know, some of the articles that have been on social media and some of the events that have happened do cause concern. You know, and we want to make sure that we keep Stone a safe place and that people are reassured that it is safe to come into Stone. The second one, and I won't talk about these two for quite so long, we had an issue at Swinnerton Yarnfield, which I think most of you are probably aware of, where there was a sexual assault incident, and it did cause a lot of community tensions. And a lot of community concerns, and it was quite widely publicised in the press and on social media. We had a really good coordinated partnership approach, which the Borough Council led on. We did a lot of good work with the parish councils. I would say Swinnerton and Yarnfield Parish Council have been absolutely excellent and extremely supportive. We also worked closely with the elected members for the area. For the areas to help us manage those concerns, and we had a lot of support from the military as well. They came along with us to public meetings. They've done a lot of work to help us to explain and reassure the local community. We've done a number of community meetings. We've had a really good coordinated comms communications approach. And working with the parish council, one of the areas they've really helped with is around arranging some local events for us and trying to rebuild those relationships with the local community. And that certainly we've had some really positive feedback around in terms of reducing tensions and making sure we're getting those right messages out and reassuring the local community. We had a similar kind of approach in Stallington. I think, again, most of you will be aware, there was a lot of concern raised following the development of what I will describe as a traveller site on the Stallington Road. That caused a lot of community concerns. We had a very similar approach as to what I've been sort of alluded to around Swinnerton, where we involved the Borough Council. We had a lot of briefings with the local community, the parish councils, the elected members, and again, that's been really positive in informing people, you know, making sure that they're aware of what the different powers of the different agencies, what we can and can't do, and certainly that has helped, I think, to reduce some of those tensions. I mean, don't get me wrong, the local community are still not happy about the existence of that site. And that is something that is being taken forward and obviously led on by the planning enforcement team. The child exploitation probably links into the top one, so I've probably said enough on that. Okay, so domestic abuse. MARIF is a multi-agency risk assessment conference. I probably have mentioned it before, but it basically deals with our higher risk domestic incidents. And it looks to resolve them through a partnership approach. We've had 109 cases across the borough that have gone to that conference over the last 12 months. We've done a lot of work to expand the partnership around it. So we're getting involvement now from schools because obviously children are impacted around domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. We're getting support from GPs, again, because they obviously provide support to some of our victims of domestic abuse. Not just around injuries, but around that sort of mental health impact. We get a lot of support from the housing sector in terms of helping us in the higher risk cases where it's necessary to rehouse people, you know, if it is necessary to safeguard them. And we also get a lot of support from New Era, who provide an infra service and support victims of domestic violence, as well as children's services. So in terms of information sharing, safeguarding and problem solving, I really do think we've got a very effective approach. And you know, that's a meeting that, you know, we co-chair with the Borough Council. It's a, you know, from my perspective, it's a really good partnership approach. Okay. I think this is the one that Vic changed without telling me about it. if I pick off sort of moving forward, our intention is to continue to focus on Stafford Town Centre, but with the issues that we've had with Stone, they will be our priority two areas of focus. That's something we've agreed with the Community Safety Wellbeing Partnership. I mean, I've touched on what the priorities are really, but certainly, we'll be continuing to work in partnership with the Town Centre Partnerships, with the Chamber of Commerce, with the Partnership Against Business Crime in Staffordshire. In Stafford, it's going to be focused around antisocial behaviour, retail crime and the nighttime economy. Very much focused on, you know, and Stafford is safe, but it's making it safer. And it's obviously making it feel safer as well for people that visit and the experience that they have. In Stone, again, and none of this will be a surprise, the focus will be around the drug supply, the exploitation and the targeting of the antisocial behaviour. Really, really key that we continue to do the work with Youth Offending Service, the schools and children's services to try and make sure that we're safeguarding vulnerable people and addressing some of those issues. And we've agreed very much a coordinated partnership approach around engagement events. the aim of them being to reassure the communities, make sure that we're engaging as a partnership, because obviously working together, we have far more capability to address and problem solve issues. So we want to make sure we're identifying those issues and concerns, that we're problem solving them. So the first one of those is planned in April in sort of the Stafford Grey Friars area.
Okay, so we focus so much, or focus so far on the community safety elements. Obviously, we've still got the health side of things as well. And actually, although this presentation is divided into two sections, when we discuss this at the partnership, they all merge into one because actually you can't, you know, decouple them. So we had some funding earlier this year for health inequalities projects from the COVID Outbreak Management Fund that is designed to reduce health inequalities. We set up four projects and these were hugely successful. We had a proactive housing repair service where there were small things that were wrong with people's properties that were really impacting on their health, where no other service was going to be able to sort it out. So we spent money and worked really closely with people in their homes to try and address some of those issues. It could have been clearances if it was, you know, dirty, contaminated, hoarded or something like that. It could have been garden cleanups, so they couldn't get into the garden and it was impacting on their health. So a number of different interventions under that project. We also looked at a more strategic piece of work. You'll be all aware of the station gateway, the new regeneration proposals there. What we did was a health impact assessment, looking at all elements of those plans and trying to build in positive health outcomes from the very, very start. So rather than trying to address some of these issues when it's, you know, being created, if you look at it up front, if you think about actually how you design an area to maximise health benefits and reduce any negative outcomes, that is the piece of work that we were doing through that. Okay. We've got two other projects that were funded through this stream. And they were funded through health inequalities funding, but what you'll see is the crossover with community safety here. So with White Stuff Boxing, we had a really focused, targeted approach in one high school whereby we engaged many more people and came out with a lot of positive health outcomes. We've got a full evaluation that we can, you know, share more details with you, but I'm aware of time and I need to move on there. Equally, around a project around e-cigarettes and vaping, about educating young people, linking in very much to some of the issues we're having in the town centre and the shops there, but also trying to get those health messages across. And the young people responded really, really well to that. They were much, much more aware of the risks they were taking and some of the things that were happening. Okay. So, we have done a lot of work in the last year around health and wellbeing. We've worked really closely with the County Council on a joint strategic needs assessment. And what that has shown is some of the key priorities for Stafford Borough and where we should be focusing our efforts. We've also combined this with data from the ICB, because I'll come on to it in a minute, but they have some funding potentially over the next financial year to reduce health inequalities. So what we want to look at is what our real inequalities are and how we can start to tackle them with some of the projects potentially we've looked at before, or coming up with new areas where we can try to address them. But the key issues that were identified are all there on the slide as well. Okay, so you won't be able to read this. I can't even see it on my slide either. What we did in January, we had a discussion with all the partners of the partnership around, this is the key health data. Does it make sense to you as an organisation? Is that what you see on the ground? Is that the issues that you're experiencing? So things like issues with vulnerability of young people, absolutely. They were all coming at it from different angles, but saying the data actually does chime with everything that we're seeing as well. So what we looked at was potential priorities around physical activity, the diversionary activity. People haven't got things to do, but equally got issues of obesity. How can we start to pull these things together? Try to almost also reduce, you know, crime and social behaviour by providing other opportunities, ticking lots of boxes at the same time. Mental health and homelessness came out quite high as well, another challenge that we've got. And also children and young people was a real priority. Encouraging healthy lifestyles, preventing criminal exploitation, and also looking at some of the issues we've got in Stafford around school exclusions as well and school absences. So
yeah.
Looking at how we can pull this together in strategy going forward as well. Okay, so I mentioned potential funding from the ICB. They are looking to be preventative and to target health inequalities. So what we're trying to do at the moment is look at those wider determinants that the Borough Council and the Partnership are responsible for, see if we can come up with some programmes over the next year to be able to start to have an impact on this, working really closely with the funding that comes from the Commissioner's Office to try and come up with things that are going to really have an impact on some of those challenges that we've identified through the data.
Wow. Can I say, first of all, that was really, if I say interesting, but very, very interesting, and that I'm picking up all that information that you've given us. But could I request that we have a copy of those slides, please? And I think it might be advantageous to every councillor, not just to people around the table, that we have a copy of that. I mean, I can go back 20 odd years sitting in this same room with loads of people from the community and say engaging with the community jars, which I think is so important, sitting around this room when we used to have Neighbourhood Watch, you know, when we used to get little pockets of people out there in Neighbourhood Watch and talking to them, and then we had them in this room round a big table, well, yeah, a big square, and asking questions. And I sometimes wonder, you know, we sit here and there's just a few of us, but I think it might be a good idea, and please tell me if you think I'm wrong, and it's open to the committee, that the police come and we have all councillors, or, you know, and probably some parish councillors and that, coming into this room and having a talk from the police, you know, because it is working together that's going to help the community, isn't it, you know, out there. You know, we can help you do your job, you know, and it's just something that crossed my mind that it might be... Because as I said, not all councillors are going to be hearing this presentation and listening to what you're saying. So I think it might be a good idea. I don't know. What do the committee think? Do you think that might be advantageous?
All councillors would be interested to hear about the work that's
being... Yeah, I think it's if you're quite up for that, Giles, you know.
Yeah,
for
the only thing I would say, and I am totally happy to do that, there's no problem with it. The only thing I would say is it's just the geographical areas. Because
yes.
Obviously there are so many different geographical areas, and the issues on the areas are very different. Mm-hmm. So it's just around managing that in terms of obviously different parishes will have very different questions on the issues that are affecting them.
Yeah.
So it's just about how we would manage that presentation to make
it
relevant.
Yeah, it's something probably we can give some thought to.
Yeah,
we
just need to work that through and manage those expectations, because if we went into that kind of granular detail at parish level that they would want, we'd be here quite a while.
Yeah, I appreciate that every area is different and everybody's got their own difference, but I think it's probably the presentation from yourselves to let people know what's happening, because I don't think people realise the amount of work that the police do. I think it's, you know, really good that you're trying to keep us safe. I mean, all right, can I just ask one? Can I just finish and then I'll come back to you? I'm sorry. You know, is monkey dust prevalent in Stafford? You know, I know it is in Stone and it was creeping into Stafford, so...
Monkey dust is a problem in Stafford, yes.
It is. I thought it might be. I'm really, I think you probably know why I asked those questions, thinking about my family history and what's happened in the past and looking after the young people that do get tied up with the wrong people and the drug situation. So, yeah. So, right, okay. Who wants to go first? Andrew, yes.
Yeah, it's just, I appreciate you focusing on where there's concentrations of population and probably issues and therefore more feedback. Don't you sometimes see that when you do focus on, say, Stafford Town Centre or Stone, it pushes problems out to the villages? For example, drugs. You're really hard on stealing and everything within Stafford Town. So where do the supplies go? Somewhere where it's quieter. And I know there is problems in my own location.
Yeah.
From our perspective, and that is obviously possible, and that can happen. But I mean, the first thing I would say is, we never stop focusing on everywhere. We just have areas that we give additional focus to. And the town centres, and we base that on demand and the issues and risks that we see. But we we also base it on the fact that obviously Stafford and Stone Centre are locations where people come to from all over the borough.
Yeah.
And obviously crime and issues that they see when they come into Stafford Town Centre or Stone Town Centre, for example, will affect how they feel about community safety when they live at home. You know, if they live in Wildwood, they come into Stafford Town Centre, you know, and they have an issue, that will affect their feelings when they're at home and in other areas. But it is balanced. We don't stop dealing with issues on other areas. We obviously have to prioritise our focus in line with the risk and the harm.
Yeah.
Philip, you want to come in? Yeah.
Yeah. Two things. First of all, I must say that Giles does meet by Zoom with the councillors from Stone and also representatives from community groups on a regular basis. So parish councillors and borough councillors and people from the various areas in Stone, and Giles gives a report about what's happening in Stone and an opportunity for people to ask questions. Just moving on, you've mentioned about the Westbridge Park. People are really concerned about Westbridge Park. I know that there is a camera on the canoe headquarters that covers quite a bit of the park. But a lot of people have asked for if it would be possible to have a camera towards the bottom end, you know, where Marks and Spencer's is, to look at the play area. Is that something that could be looked at and perhaps funded through the crime and commissioner's funding?
We have got a camera across that area. We've got four cameras, four cameras in Westbridge Park, and they do cover the play areas.
Right, okay, yeah. It's just that people, you know, they're unaware of it. They're unaware of these cameras. Perhaps we could publicise the fact that there are four cameras.
Probably people don't want them to know that they're there.
Gives people a peace of mind.
Yeah, I mean, personal view, I mean, what I would say, supporting what Vic says, I mean, obviously there was a recent assault in Westbridge Park that had quite a lot of meagre attention. You know, the cameras were really useful and did capture, you know, a number of the people involved in that incident, and they were really useful. And, you know, we have taken a lot of positive action to deal with the youths that were involved in that incident, you know, including one that was arrested and is currently on bail conditions. Others have been dealt with through the Youth Defending Service. I mean, obviously, it's my personal view with Westbridge Park, it's about getting the right balance, because we want people to come and enjoy the park. You know, and you don't want to change it in such a way that people don't want to come and enjoy the park.
No.
But the CCTV coverage in there at the moment certainly is not bad.
No.
And has helped us, as I say, on a number of occasions, as well as that recent incident.
So perhaps that can be reported, you know, to make people aware that there are cameras there and it is a safe area. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you've done that right. Okay, thank you. Right. Just a minute, I've got people before you.
There's a story of my life.
Councillor Thornley.
Yeah, the antisocial behaviour in the town centre. I'm pleased that you've got the cycling top of the list. That's the most comments I get and concerns that people contact me over. You know, and I've done an analysis of this. It seems to spike when the clocks go back. November, December, it goes higher for some reason. That's cycling through the town centre. Whether it's actually at night, I don't know. But it goes higher, and it's the same with riding on footpaths down Wolverhampton Road. And I've also noticed antisocial behaviour in the park, complaints that I get, particularly around by the water wheels, you know, at the end of the park.
Which,
you know, when they come over the river?
Millbank.
Milk bank, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
The water wheel's there.
Right.
And this seems to start spiking up around about the time kids go back to school after the six weeks holiday. So why that is, I don't know, but as the member for the ward, I'm saying to you, this is what I've noticed and had complaints about.
And we, sorry, go on.
And it's measuring it at different time of the year. As the light nights start coming in, I get less complaints about cycling.
Okay.
I mean, we do obviously see seasonal trends. I mean, obviously the cycling through the town is a little bit more difficult in terms of, you know, different trends, because we don't obviously record every cyclist that goes through the town. But we do try and listen to the community's concerns and obviously try and sort of conduct operations in line with that. You know, we certainly around the cycling in the town centre, we have got to be realistic, because I mean I could deploy six officers every day from 7 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, and I might just about stop all the cycling through the town. But the moment I took them away, people would cycle through the town again. And clearly I've got to prioritise the use of my resources. But what we are doing and what we have been doing, working with the Borough Council, Anna's already alluded to the efforts that have been made to improve the signage, to try and market the existence of the Public Space Protection Order. And we are and we will continue to do operations where we target the issue. What we're trying to do is distinguish between people that are intentionally cycling in an antisocial behaviour, antisocial manner, such as doing wheelies, causing an intentional problem, and those that are just cycling, I say just, but cycling through the town without trying to bother people. You know, they're going about their business, and yes, they shouldn't be doing it, but they're not intentionally trying to cause a problem, as it were. So we're introducing a process, and we have introduced a process where if it's the latter, we will initially send them a warning letter, working with the council. If they do it again, obviously we'll use the fine, because they can be fined £100. Obviously, we sort of think the letter is a good way of making it proportionate, because if they have been unaware of the issue and they've not been intentionally trying to cause a problem, probably giving them a £100 fine might feel a little bit harsh. Obviously, if they are intentionally causing antisocial behaviour, then we'll use the fines. We do that as well with the children. What we'll do, if they are deliberately causing antisocial behaviour, we'll take the bikes off them, and then when they come and collect the bikes, they can have a £100 ticket to mum and dad.
Yeah.
It is an issue that obviously we have to play our part and try and get that message out. There's also an element of realism, because we're probably never going to stop any cyclists from ever coming through the town.
I think it's not just cyclists in the town, actually. I think in all the areas throughout Stafford, we've got people, young people with black hoods on, no lights on the bikes, just dressed in black when it's dark. And I'm really frightened that somebody really is going to get badly injured one day, and then it'll be a case of we should have done this or we should have done that. Can I just say to you as well, you know, talking about nighttime economy and what have you, really disappointed, can I say, that at the licensing committee last week that the police didn't make a presentation. So we've got an hour shop in our area in Stafford South East selling drink 24/7, which is really concerning, but we'll just wait and see how that... So I just wanted to make that to you, Giles, I'm sorry, but I had to say that, and I think I'd like to bring Marnie in with that situation, please.
Much pressure. Hi, Giles. Anne's referring to as well the issues that we have in Yelverton as far as drinking is concerned, with underage drinkers, and that was one of the reasons why we were concerned about the fact that nothing had been raised from the police regarding the 24-hour licence, considering the amount of times that the police have been called out to Yelverton because of huge groups. I don't talk about five or six. I mean like 20 to 30 youths that are absolutely blottoed, underage. Where they've got the drink from, we, you know, is anybody's guess. Littering, being dispersed by PCSOs, eventually being dispersed by PCSOs. But obviously our concern is that this might escalate a situation that already is there. So we were disappointed that there wasn't anything even mentioned by the police about any concerns. We'd also had antisocial behaviour outside the church as well, where some of the ancient arch had been damaged through youths misbehaving. But I also wanted to raise the issues that we were having with alcohol and underage drinking, particularly during the summer months. This is, you know, this isn't like every now and again. This is a few nights a week that this occurs. A lot of elderly residents, obviously it's quite scary for them. We also have issues on the meadows as well. Last year, we had reports that there are a lot of children that were there that were extremely drunk, that were also smoking weed, being abusive obviously to residents, but jumping in the water because it was hot weather. We phoned 999 because from our perspective it was a safeguarding issue. The operator on the other end didn't perceive it in the same way that we did. The initial response was, well, if we send a car, it'll have the sirens blazing and it'll scare them all off and they'll just run off anyway. And my response was, there are children underage who are drinking, who are high, who are swimming in water, and this is not about anything other than the fact that one of them could die. You know, it's a safeguarding issue. At that point, we were taken seriously. But it's an issue that continually reoccurs. On that incident, one young lady was taken home by one of the officers, and we still, the rest were just dispersed. There was no action taken. On any of the occasions, there's been no action taken. So what can we do to safeguard our young people? How can we report this and actually have it taken seriously? Because anybody who's absolutely blottoed under the age of 18 should not be wandering the streets anyway, let alone drinking in parks or by water. And how can we ensure that we can prevent this from happening?
I mean, there's obviously quite a few questions there.
Complex. I know.
I don't know you want to go away. So.
I'll try and do my best to cover them off. I mean, in terms of that licence premise, I did liaise with our licensing department around it. I did mention it at the beginning before the meeting. What they said to me basically was they have quite a specific reason to object, and that's based on the previous of the licensee. And the issues in the absolute immediate vicinity that you can associate with that premise. So if you're objecting, you actually have to have specific evidence that premise, whether it be a club in the town or a pub in the town or an off licence or such as that premise, you have to be able to show that that's caused the issue specifically. So it does make it more difficult to object. You have to have some really strong grounds to object. So, whilst I fully acknowledge the points and concerns that you raise, I mean, we do keep that under review. And obviously, if we get evidence, we do operations around underage drinking and underage sales. Most of the venues do operate in a responsible manner. But we do check that, and we do operations with trading standards around that, and with our licensing colleagues, that is something they are extremely hot on. And if we do get grounds to object, that can be reviewed. There is a process for that. Obviously, in terms of antisocial behaviour in Yelverton Park, We are obviously aware of that issue. We do get, you know, seasonal issues around that area probably every year. Obviously, the young people do change and grow up and what have you. But we do focus on that area. We do patrol in that area. We do try and, you know, work with local schools, with parents. There is obviously a duty and responsibility around parents, you know, around their children. You know, we do our bit to target specific individuals that are causing a regular problem. You know, so we'll try and identify. You know, you often get, you might get a group of 20 people, and there is one or two of those individuals that are causing a specific problem that are coordinating the wider group, for want of a better phrase. So we'll try and target and deal with those individuals, and that can obviously often be a way of solving the problem, because the rest of them then do disperse.
Yep.
But there are some issues, such as Yalverton Park, that probably will repeat to some degree, you know, on a seasonal basis.
Yeah.
I mean, the last incident is quite difficult for me to comment on. I don't know the kind of specifics around that. But again, there is an issue around obviously the responsibility of parents and the role that they've got to play. You know, we will attend incidents and deal with antisocial behaviour. I can't really comment on the response of the call taker, because I haven't got the knowledge around that.
I understand that.
Thank you very much. Sorry,
can I come back?
Yeah, quickly, yeah, because I appreciate, well, you know, we've got, yeah, and I've got two more speakers.
I think some of the guidance that the residents want is, do they ring 111 or should they be ringing 999 if there are underage drinkers? What is the protocol?
It's probably not, I mean, it depends. If they think someone is at immediate risk of harm, or a crime is occurring, then it would be, you know, a 999. Probably in most cases for underage drinkers, that probably wouldn't be the case. Obviously, depending on what they're doing.
Yeah.
It would probably be 101 or an online report.
Online report.
You know, we do have the online report mechanism that people can use.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would probably be one of those.
Thank you. Well, I want to move on. Councillor Hobshaw next, and
okay,
then Councillor Edgeworth.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about West Bridge Park, because there's a lot of investment in that area. Is the fact that it's been developed attracting more children, or is it something else more specific?
I mean, it's a little bit difficult for me to comment. I mean, obviously, you will expect children to come to parks.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not been an issue before, has it? I don't think West Beach Park was problematic, was it? I'm just wondering.
I can only comment on probably the last 5 years or so. I mean, we have probably seen more issues in the last couple of years there. But I think whether there is something around now, it's had the development, there is perhaps more focus on it.
Mm.
You know, I'm guessing to some degree, you know, it may be that it's now a nicer place, people are coming there more. People are seeing that, you know, the behaviour that's happening, you know, but also or some of the behaviour that's happening. But, you know, we want people to come to parks, you know, I think we do,
yeah.
You know, and obviously enjoy them, the facilities that are there for people to use. And, you know, what we do try and do, and what we are trying to do with Westbridge Park, is deal with the behaviour and the problems that the people are causing. And it's just, and we are doing that. There are a number of specific children, I do mean children. In some cases, like 10, 12, 13-year-old kids, that have caused a lot of problems in that park and in the immediate vicinity. And because of their age, it does take some time to deal with them and address the issues that they cause. You know, we have to do that in partnership. We have to do that from a safeguarding perspective as well. But we are doing that. And there are a number of them where we've reached a point where they're no longer having an impact. It just takes time.
Mm. I think the message we're getting out of the committee is that every park's got a problem in the different areas. Councillor, is that all right, Councillor Hobbs? Yeah. Councillor Edgeworth.
Yeah, just a very quick one, really. At one point in time, not that long ago, really, we had a very high instance of imported crime, i.e. people coming in from other areas into the Stafford and creating crime here. What would be the percentage right now?
It would be very difficult for me to actually comment I mean, we don't sort of keep that specific data. I mean, obviously, we only know who's caused the crime if we solve it, for one. But, you know, we are affected by probably more crime, and we are definitely affected by more, for want of a better phrase, homegrown crime and issues.
Right.
It depends, obviously, what you mean by crime, because 20%
I think
of the,
probably talking
of the crime in Stafford Borough is domestic abuse. So that is obviously all homegrown. We do have some travelling criminals. We did have an issue last year, for example, where we were targeted by car key burglars from outside of the area. And there were two specific teams that ultimately were locked up, arrested, caught and dealt with, and they were from out of the area. So there is a mixture. Definitely more is homegrown. But we do obviously get impacted on by people outside the area.
Yeah. Thank you very
much.
Thank you, Chair. I noticed on one of the sides you put Martin's Law. It's not actually a law yet, is it? Or is it?
It's just about to be made a law, is that right?
It's not yet. Yeah, it was under the new duties, though.
Okay. Yeah, and how that, isn't that the law that's come out of the Ariana Grande? How will that affect? I'm also on another committee about bringing life into town, and Martin's Law from, I can't say I'm an expert, I only know sort of the very peripheral of Martin's Law, but it seems like it's going to stop a lot of things going on, not bringing them, you know, I know you've got to sort out crime and everything, but is it going to put kibosh, because, I mean, trying to get some of the things that we want to bring health and safety wise is a nightmare. So this will cause another problem which is going to stop life coming into the town.
That's absolutely not the intention.
I hope
and
not.
It needs to be implemented in a way whereby it doesn't have that impact.
Yeah.
I mean, I could bring Vic in to talk more about it.
Yeah.
I just don't know how long you want.
I know. Just another couple of minutes because I appreciate that.
Yeah, come and chat with you because I am concerned. Because obviously, I know we have to deal with crime. And I mean, we were at the marathon on half marathon on Sunday, and I was with Kate Young helping out at the thing in Market Square, and she stopped several people and the abuse she got. You know, it's for cycling or just walking across when the road, you know, things like that. So, and I know there's CCTV everywhere, and your CCTV operators, and it is absolutely amazing. But I don't want it to stop bringing life into the town either.
Mm-hmm. Probably a conversation you can have with Vicky outside the.
Yeah.
Outside the.
Quickly.
Your bar chart, it was showing that assaults, etc., violent crime were really high. You had rape, 33 rapes in Stafford. Is everything kind of associated to those figures? Would some of the violent assaults also be associated with some of the other charges and the other groups that were on your chart, or is it one incident, one bit on the chart?
Sometimes you can have one incident where there are multiple offences that will lead to multiple crimes. I mean, obviously, you have to. The different charts, we do get different levels, obviously, of certain types of crime. So other violence is not just violence. It incorporates lots of different things like harassment. Most of it is between people that know each other. I mean, in terms of rape, there will be a significant proportion of those that are historic. There will be a proportion of those that are between people that obviously know each other. Certainly, we have only had, I'm trying to remember what it was, we did have one stranger rape. I can't remember that was in the last 12 months or not. It happened. It did happen in Stafford Town Centre within the last 12, 18 months. And there was some, and I mean, obviously, that was terrible. That was absolutely terrible. But there was some really good investigative work that was done that caught the individual responsible for that, and they are in prison.
It's not
that
the people on
the
streets.
You do have to be careful around the data. Certainly, violence, there are numerous strands, and it's starts getting complicated.
And then if I can just come back very quickly. So on the domestic violence side of it then, how are you finding reports and convictions as a result of that?
I mean, obviously, we want people to report domestic abuse. There is data that, you know, people don't report it the first time on many occasions. You know, we want to encourage people to report domestic abuse. We do all we can to achieve a positive outcome and get convictions in relation to that. We do have some issues where, on occasions, it can be difficult getting the confidence of the victim to pursue a prosecution. On some occasions, there are other issues as well around the vulnerability of the victim. What we do, that's where the marriage process comes in, and that's where we have that partnership problem-solving approach to try and sort of resolve those issues. So whilst we do all we can to prosecute, we're also trying to deal with it from a problem-solving and vulnerability and support perspective. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I think domestic abuse is, and that's not just, it's not just women either, it's men as well that's involved in it. And when I stand in the market square, when they read all the names out of the people, that's ladies that's been murdered, you know, it just breaks my heart, and I think we all feel a bit the same. I mean, young lives, it's terrible. But are we all done now? Yeah, is everybody? I've got to say to you, Inspector Giles Parsons, thank you so much for your time and coming along and giving an insight into what's happening as far as crime concerned in Stafford Borough. Thank you so much, and I'm sorry we've kept you so long, but thank you, Anna.
Pardon?
Yes, thank you, Anna. Yes,
we
working together.
Work very closely. I mean, we are basically part of the same team.
Yeah, thank you both so much. Yeah, thank you. And if you'd like to leave now, because have you got another meeting to go to?
No, to be honest, I'm going home.
You've had enough. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right, we move on and we'll go to item number 6 now on the agenda. Sorry, what have I missed? Oh, I'm sorry. I do apologise. Where am I? 5A, yeah. 5A, you've all had a copy of the minutes of the health and care at County. And so, any questions or anything? So we'll move on. And we'll move on to item 6.
Item 5.
I've forgotten now.
5B, so we can just do the task and finish.
Me again.
Oh, sorry. I thought I'd done that, actually. I do apologise, Marnie. We spent so long on that, and it's really so interesting on that. So, task and finish. Can you give us a little report on what's happening so far on the food waste?
Well, we've met just the one so far. It was a really interesting talk. We had a presentation about what we were looking at. We had examples of food waste containers and an overview of how other authorities have dealt with that. We have an officer here, actually, who was there. He did a very good presentation. We're actually having another meeting on the 22nd of May where we're having the officers from Newcastle who are already running the scheme coming to discuss some of the things that we've raised, talk about their operation and how they've dealt with some of the issues that have come about, teething problems initially, and really anything else that councillors want to raise. It was a really fascinating meeting.
Yeah. Good.
It really was.
Yeah, so we look forward to hearing from you next time at the next meeting about the task and finish. Yeah, thank you very much, and thank you for the work that you're doing
and
the committee as well. Yeah, thank you. Right, now we'll move on to item 6. Sorry, we spent so long on that last item. Right, it's a Calding item. Councillor Rockley, do you want to give some sort of insight into...
Yes.
Yes, okay. You go ahead. And can I... Councillor Hood, do you want to come to the table as well? Mr. Shepherd, anybody else to the table on that? Yeah. And Victoria is. Oh, and Anna, sorry. Yeah. Right, Councillor Rockley, yeah.
Yeah, so this we called in to kind of scrutinise it further. I think the approach that's kind of put forward, there are kind of a number of areas that in particular kind of I would like to raise. The approach that is kind of proposed is a much more kind of a liberalisation, a more laissez-faire approach. So it's a much more open application every year, and that leads to a situation where applicants are then going to be judged one against the other. And I think that this kind of one-size-fits-all approach gives rise to a situation where if we look at the list of organisations that are currently funded, there's a list of organisations who are kind of either professional, well-funded charities, and there is one organisation on there which is not. It is a volunteer organisation, it's entirely run by volunteers. Which organisation is going to be the best place to kind of put in an application that's going to raise money in that context? It's going to be the bigger professional organisations, and it's going to mean that the one arts organisation that's on the list, which is entirely run by volunteers, is going to be, just in terms of how the system is designed, it's going to be less likely to be able to achieve any funding, and it will mean that the only funding that currently goes to arts in the borough is systematically less likely to be able to achieve. So I think I have concerns kind of because of that kind of approach. The other part of this is I kind of think that if we look at the arts funding within the borough currently, the borough currently funds kind of grassroots arts organisations substantially less than our neighbours in Lichfield or Tamworth, who give out, Lichfield in particular, give out £36,000 in grants a year by comparison to £10,000 in Stafford. And I think that the process that's being proposed is, to a greater or lesser extent, a duplication of work which Stafford District Arts Council already does. So the SLA that's existed between the borough and the Arts Council for, I believe, 75 years, on and off, is given to them, and then they further award it to small grassroots arts organisations right across the borough, whether that's kind of Stafford Choral Society, the Arts Society, the Film Society, photography. There's no Planet B, Adverston, Church, where they put on concerts on a regular basis, and so on and so on and so on. In the last year, they gave out £16,000 worth of grants to many different organisations. So there's a kind of duplication of work that currently is done by volunteers that would be done first by people within the borough, and then again by volunteers directly in terms of kind of art. Finally, I've kind of deep reservations and concerns about the proposed assessment criteria. My day job is as an academic and a lecturer at the university. I have written assessment criteria for assessments for the last 20 years and had students complaining at me that my assessment criteria are not clear enough. And I'm going to say the assessment criteria in the here are not clear enough. One of the reasons in here for this is to make it clear and transparent and fair, having assessment criteria that it's not really easy to understand how you get the lowest marks and or the highest marks within it means that they are inherently, it's very difficult to say that they're fair. When we look at the list of the assessment criteria, it talks about kind of demonstrating how the priorities are met by the proposal, but there's no direct link to where one would find those priorities. So in the policy document, it doesn't directly link you to say that this is where the priorities are going to be. It mentions two separate documents, and it's not clear which priorities and which document need to be kind of addressed within them. It says one of the criteria is well run. It's not clear whether it's the organisation or the proposal that needs to be well run. There are no standards for how it is well run. There is a set of standards for the organisation, but they are minimum standards. They're standards for how to get considered for being scored in the first place. They're not the scoring criteria. If those are minimum standards, that's what will get you to zero, not what will get you to 20, because it's 20% of the overall grading. So a question of kind of, well, what does an organisation that gets 20 out of 20 in terms of that criteria get, and by comparison to the information that we do have, which is how does an organisation just get to be scored in the first place? That's a zero. When we look at one of the criteria is a strengths-based approach. That's the only place in the entire documentation where these words are used. So in terms of clarity and understanding what that means, it's very difficult. Value for money. Again, there are a multitude of ways of assessing value for money, particularly within the voluntary sector, where we're not looking at profit. If we're looking at something in kind of the for-profit sector, it's quite obvious in terms of VFM. But in terms of looking at that in the context of how are we going to compare value for money in terms of awarding a grant to Staffordshire Women's Aid versus an arts organisation? It's very difficult to kind of have a clear value for money comparison in that context. And the final one is kind of collaborative. Again, it doesn't get discussed anywhere else. It's not mentioned anywhere else. There are a multitude of ways that they could demonstrate some sort of collaboration, but which of those collaborations is going to be valued more than others is important to understand if there's going to be a grade given as part of it. So in terms of what I would like to see, kind of a reconsideration of the approach to ensure that different areas currently supported are able to retain support, particularly I have an interest in terms of ensuring that the arts in the borough is supported and ensuring that that's the case. Where organisations which are currently supported are grant awarding, that we don't kind of have a process where we're duplicating work which is already done to a very high standard by an external organisation that we kind of commission to do that. And to provide substantially greater clarity on the application processes so that the assessment criteria are easily understood and can be consistently applied.
Thank you very much for that. Well, I'm going to bring Councillor Hood and Anna in and then I'm going to open it through. Can I just say to you, if any of you have got any interest in this, any interest in any organisation that's received money, any committee members that sit in are you involved in any of the organisations that's received any money from the? Because if you are, you've got to declare an interest.
None of these listed here, but I suspect I might be beneficial of one of these. I can't confirm it. I don't know.
Yes, absolutely, you are.
Yes, but that's indirect. It's not one of these.
No,
it's not my choice.
And I have to also declare an interest as a member of the Stafford District Arts Council representing the Stafford Borough.
Because we've also got to remember that a lot of these small grant schemes with £10,000, there might be somebody, you might be involved in something in your area that might be getting some of the money. And I'm not sure whether I'm in that, actually, to be honest with you, with hearts and hands and things like that. So so I just mentioned that as out of interest. So, yeah. Okay, Councillor Hood, do you want to come in next?
How on earth do I follow what Doug has just said?
I don't know. Here's the answer.
Account. Currently, as Doug has outlined, and I'm sure you've read this, Stafford Borough Council allocates certain amounts of money to the various organisations that we're looking at. And they, all bar one, take that money and they use it for very valuable purposes. But the Stafford District Arts Council, we give them £10,000 and they try very hard to speak to the arts, the various arts organisations, and say to them, well, we've got this money. If you want to apply for a grant, please do. And the Stafford District Arts Council assesses their application and sometimes they'll allow them the full amount and sometimes they'll only give them a partial grant. And it works very well. But it means that the Stafford District Arts Council, which Doug has talked about, actually have to do all the work, all the administration, the contacts, to actually pay that amount of money. What we as a borough council are suggesting is that
we will allocate the money to whoever applies to us, who the applicants will come to us. And I do disagree with Councillor Russell here that the criteria isn't weighted in a fair way. I think it is. And, you know, demonstrating how priorities are met, that's something that we have to have them demonstrate to us. The small grant scheme and the sports grant scheme, they come directly to us. We allocate to some absolutely amazing young people and some not so young people. I think recently we gave money through the small grant scheme for a dolly trolley, which say a community centre, which has very sturdy chairs and they're quite weighty, will load the dolly trolley with five or six chairs rather than have their volunteers hoiking one chair and then another. The sports grant schemes, if ever you can have a look at the funding that we've allocated to certain individuals, it is incredible. We've funded netball schemes, we've funded skiing scholarships. It's as I say, it is incredible, and they are mostly young people that come through for the sports grant scheme. I think this is a very fair way of Stafford Borough Council using our funding, which means that we can actually have a far wider circle of people coming to us to apply for the grants that we actually give out. I'll hand you over to them.
Yeah, I know. You want to come in?
Thank you. I think I just want to start by saying that the voluntary sector is absolutely critical in supporting the delivery of services right across the council. I think, personally, as a manager, I value them immensely, and I think the presentation you've just seen, we wouldn't be able to achieve what we do achieve without the support of the voluntary sector. They work with us hand in hand across so many different areas. I think the thinking behind this policy was to try and make the allocation of funding as transparent as we possibly can be. When I took over this service area, I got this responsibility and I looked at the organisations that were funded, and absolutely I think they're all really worthy of the funding. However, I think the voluntary sector has changed a lot in the last few years. I think in COVID times we've seen different organisations emerge, we've seen different ways of working. And I couldn't justify continuing to give the same amounts to all the same people year on year without understanding who we were excluding from this. I couldn't understand why we'd chosen these over others. And I thought a process of fairness would be more sensible going forwards, which is why we've designed it the way we are, to try and be as transparent as possible and to open it up. I think just addressing a couple of specific points, the priorities aren't in the policy at the moment because the corporate plan is going through the council process, so I believe it's going to full council in April. Obviously we couldn't put those in advance because it hasn't yet been adopted, and equally we've heard that the community wellbeing strategies and the process have been developed as well, and it will be very much in line with that, both of those documents that we will be looking at assessing the grant applications. And they will have absolutely clear priorities. And when we do launch the grant round, if this goes forward, they will be set out really clearly in there. Equally, there is an option for being able to apply for a grant for 3 years, so that some of these smaller organisations have some funding stability as well, so that is also in the policy. I think as well it's worth mentioning that Stafford Borough Council isn't the only way to get funding for all various different voluntary sector organisations. There are a wide number of different organisations that fund, you know, voluntary sector, and also organisations like the Arts Council. Support Staffordshire can do a lot of that work in helping find those grants for the different voluntary organisations, and we do recommend people use that as well. So I think that is the logic behind it. That's why we did it, and we didn't want to exclude organisations from getting the much needed funding. Absolutely all our organisations can apply going forwards, we wouldn't be, you know, just restricting it to obviously the ones that have already done. It is very much opening it up and trying to be more transparent going forwards.
I think as well, Chairman, if I can just come in.
Yeah, please do.
If we were to say to our residents, these are the set organisations that we actually fund, do you think it's fair? I think residents would look and say, you know, why is the Citizens Advice Bureau getting more than the Stafford Women's Aid? You know, those various organisations we all hold dear, but some in the future are going to be able to prove to us that they're worth maybe more, and some we're going to look at and think, well, maybe less. Thank you, Chairman.
Right, thank you. Right. You know, has anybody got any questions? Let me say to you, this is a really, we don't very often get called in items by councillors. I've got to say, I think this is probably the second time in years and years and years. So it's a really unusual situation. Now, if you've got any questions, fine. But just remember, the only thing we can do is probably send it back to Cabinet if you don't agree with it. And if we send it back to Cabinet, then these payments are going to be delayed. So I just want you to bear that in mind when we talk about it and discuss it. So, Andy, you wanted to make a comment.
I would like to emphasise and reiterate the fact that it certainly came out during my mayoral year. The voluntary sector glues this town, glues this borough, without a shadow of doubt.
Oh, God, yeah.
If I may as well say this, it was an eye-opener as to how many organisations, small and large, are around doing what they do. It is a difficult call, passing this finance on to anybody and deciding how much should go to whom. Always is a difficult call. You know, to make it as transparent as possible. I totally agree going forward. And it's the publicity to let people know that such things are available.
Can I just reply to that, Chairman?
Yeah.
So, Councillor Cooper, you've just said what an eye-opener it was to you.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm sure you came across organisations that aren't here.
Oh, yes. Mm.
So that will give them, with this, that will give them the opportunity to come to us. Not to
if they know that. I suspect there's an awful lot out there who don't know that.
That's up to us to actually get the publicity right. And if they don't know about it, does that mean that these groups that we've funded haven't actually sought publicity? Because they've been given the grant, and maybe they'll put Stafford Borough Council and put a tiny badge on the bottom of their publicity leaflets. But you know, we need to publicise who we are funding.
Mm. Is anybody right, Councillor Hott? Yeah. Go on.
Maybe what I'm hearing is that Councillor Roxall, this is the area he works in. It's his area of expertise, and we don't want to delay the distribution of funds, so maybe this, if it's been allocated, should go forward. But maybe you could meet with Councillor Roxall to discuss the process and see if it could be improved upon in any way. I don't know what he thinks about that.
Okay. Councillor Phillips, I was just trying to think, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Oi, you. I just wanted to ask Doug, actually, did you feel that the responses that you had help the statement that you made? Do you feel that it's given you a bit of an explanation and a bit of a background? Or do you still feel there could be potential issues?
In terms of like discussing the assessment criteria, only one of the assessment criteria that I raised concerns with has been addressed, and I think that even on that, I think a really good question when you're looking at any kind of assessment criteria is, how do I know if I'm going to get 1 or 10 out of 10? And I think with the information that we have that's in this policy, even if we set out what those priorities are, except that we've been told where they're going to come from, how do we know, do we have to hit, if they're going to be 10 priorities, does an organisation have to hit all 10 of them, or can they hit just one of them, and how is that going to be graded by comparison, in what way, because it will make a difference to those organisations trying to apply. So I think that the question of the transparency of the assessment criteria hasn't, I don't feel, been addressed adequately, and how we are talking about effectively the organisations that apply, the ones that get the highest scoring are the ones that are going to receive funding. That's if that's not going to be the case, then it definitely isn't transparent. That's certainly the impression that it's given, the ones that get the highest scoring. So knowing how to get the highest scoring is incredibly important in that context. That is a question that I don't think is very addressed at all.
So any more questions from any? Yes, Andy.
Yeah, maybe just very quickly. I mean, in terms of that, thinking of a very small organisation, you know, two or three people doing a thing, they say, yes, we'd like to apply for someone and come to it, and then see, oh, good grief, I've got to fill in all this. You carry on without it. You can frighten off people if you're not careful. It's got to be good to be able to, you know, sort of sift through and sort and decide, but at the same time, it's got to be user-friendly enough.
Can I make a suggestion? And you know, you tell me if you don't agree. But from the chair, I'm thinking to myself: if we don't let this go through, then I'm thinking about all these organisations that's waiting for this money to be able to move forward. And like you said, Andy, and I appreciate being mayor as well. This borough is run on voluntary services and what have you. And there's so much good work out there. And I would hate to think that if we've got to send it back to Cabinet and they've got to wait for their money, would it not be an idea, Councillor Oxall, if you met out, you know, we let this go forward now, and I'm not saying it's up to the committee, it's not my decision this year, and then you have meetings with Anna and Jill for next year, and then look at it and see how, if you don't agree, you know, see if you can come to some sort of agreement. Would that be okay?
Part of the implementation of the bit that I have concerns with is not until next year. So the if you read it, the actual grant is extended until 2026 anyway. It's the follow on from that I have concerns
okay.
about. So I'm happy to do that. I think that's a kind of worthwhile. But I'm not sure. On the technical detail of whether it does actually delay anything, because obviously these are things that are the kind of
I think Anna might be able to put us right on this.
Yeah. So just looking at the recommendations, this is to approve the grant policy and to agree the funding for the organisations. If this goes back to Cabinet, it would delay the funding. We have to do both together. The two are absolutely linked, unfortunately. So it would be that decision. We would be approving the policy if we didn't send it back to Cabinet. It's whether or not then we could review that again at a later date.
So what does the committee want to do? I'm open to ideas. I mean, I'm sitting here in the chair and I'm...
I think what you proposed.
Yeah, that we pass this.
Yeah.
And it should be reviewed.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
this is what I was saying. So, okay, so you'll second that.
I'll second that.
So, do we agree on that then, as the committee? Do we agree on that? And is that okay with you, Councillor Oxall? Yeah?
It's the will of the committee. So
yeah.
I will accept it.
Yeah. Thank you very much indeed. Okay. Thank you.
It's an important point that you've raised there.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely something that we need to
look
at for sure.
Yeah. And if you can have talks outside. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right. We move on to item. What area am I now?
7B.
7B. Right. Performance report. What page number? 27.
23.
Yeah. 20. Yeah. So we're moving on to 7B now. And 23. Yeah. You're doing this as well, Anna. Yeah. Okay. You're in the hot chair tonight, aren't you? Right, okay. So we'll go through it page by page, okay? We're on 27.
Where are the appendixes in this? Where should they be in there?
Have you got them in, have you got a copy of that?
No, you've not got them in colour.
So yeah. The report is in...
There,
the bit that I missed out was the KPIs, which I've printed out separately for tonight.
Right, okay. So, we're on page 27.
I don't know if Hannah wants to.
Yeah.
It's worth me just saying.
Yeah. Jackie, put us right, please.
Okay, so you've been given an overview, but the only bit which is relevant is highlighted.
Right.
Because the other bits go to other scrutinies, so you're just looking at the
community
section.
Community view,
yeah. Which is highlighted on the report.
Okay. So we're looking at that bottom bit, the climate change, the council, and that bit, yeah?
The highlighted.
That bit there. Community, yeah. On page 24, yeah?
Yeah.
Anybody got any queries on that? On page 25, any queries on that? The community bit, yeah? And then the delivery plan. Yeah.
So I think this is where Anna could normally speak, isn't it, when we go on to number page 27.
Page 27. Is there anything you want to say, Anna, on this?
No, I think we just go
it through page by page. Right, page 27. Yes, Councillor Oxon.
On page 27, there's one item which is marked as being 3 months behind, or less than 3 months behind schedule. But when we go and look at the detail on page 31, the only item that is marked behind schedule is marked more than 3 months behind schedule. So I was wondering which one was accurate, whether it is less or whether it is more. Depending on where you look in the report, we get both of those indicated. And there clearly is some slippage, and I was wondering why there was no summary of what the slippage was on the summary page on page 27.
Gabrielle, can I bring you in,
Hi, welcome.
This is the private water supply testing that we're in the process of carrying out. This is for, as it suggests, private sector water supplies in the borough. So this is obviously for the end of quarter three. To do this work, we've had to bring in some additional support, and we've had some funding to do that, because we don't have the in-house expertise. Everybody's obviously trying to do the same work and obtain the same contractors, so this has been delayed, but I believe it's now on track again, Dave, for the private sector water.
Yes, that's correct. We were unable to engage contractors until later than expected. That's the reason for the slippage.
So it would have been more than 3 months or less than 3 months? Or around 3 months?
Less than 3 months. So the summary is correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You're quite happy with that? I forgot what page we're up to now. 28, is it? 28. Any questions on page 28?
Yes, please, Chair.
Yes.
There are a lot of documents that seem to be being prepared, procurement strategies. I'm just wondering what the costs involved are going to be for all of these, because it looks expensive on paper.
Okay, thank you. So the document at the bottom here, the homelessness and rough sleeper strategy, has been completed, and that was completed fully in-house, so there was no external support required for that.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently scoping out, or just finalising, the cost for the housing strategy and the feasibility study, and getting budget approval for that. We don't have a final figure yet, but that will be finalised very shortly. Can I just say as well,
yeah,
there is a budget set aside for the housing strategy that has been set aside for a number of years to carry out this piece of work.
Okay.
Thank you. Right. I'm just looking to see if I've got any questions. Yeah. I mean, am I right in thinking on page 28 about building council homes? Yeah?
Sorry?
Council homes on page 28. Not councillor, council.
Yes, it's looking at the feasibility of developing council-owned homes on a council-owned site.
Right. So we're thinking about building them, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And where would the money come from to build those?
That's going to be part of the feasibility study. Obviously,
right.
We have a significant need for affordable housing, so we will look at that.
Okay. Thank you. Right, page 29. Yeah? No? Everybody happy? Page 30? Page 31?
30, please.
Yep.
You're doing, there's a review happening at the moment of current play areas and funding available. Where is the funding coming from? And are these the small parks on the estates that we'll be looking at?
Through you, Chair, thank you very much.
Hi, David. How was that, Josh? It's all right, I was looking at David in the corner.
David,
good evening, Josh. Yeah. I do apologise. He's got hair, you.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. So what we're looking at, we've got 70 parks and play areas in total across the borough, so we've looked at all of them and we've tried to rate them on the condition and the social demographics of the area. So it's all 70. The money itself is coming mainly from Section 106 monies that we've got available in those areas. So the next part, what we're now looking at doing is trying to match that money that's available in Section 106 box against the parks and play areas. That will be a further report we've come through.
Okay, so can I come back on that, please?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So when you're talking about the 106, are you talking about 106 money from large housing projects or the small housing projects?
All housing projects, all 106 money.
Depending on the need.
Yeah, well, so what often happens with Section 106 money is it's ring fenced to specific areas, so you can only use it in areas you've got. So sometimes we'll have to put smaller pots together, or there might be a big pot, there might be one park, one particular park in play area.
But are those needs not assessed at the time of the planning applications? Is that what
not always, at? No. It's dependent upon the size of the development, will depend upon what Section 106 contribution goes to what particular part. So some Section 106 may go to one of Anna's favourites, which is building a new swimming pool. Some will go to open spaces, some will go to sports provision. So and it's sort of divvied up. At development stage, prior to development, that money then comes into the council and there's a clawback period part of that money. So there's only a certain amount that's available for our open space and sports in the area. So we have to try and sort of match it up and marry it up where we can.
But you know, when you're looking at how it's going to be spent, is it dependent on the type of estate that's being built? So if it's got lots of open spaces, then there isn't a need for 106 for open spaces.
Yeah, more or less, that's a planning matter. From my point of view, we deal with the parks, the maintenance and the ongoing sort of upkeep of the park. So I'm looking at the refurbishment one. So we're looking to say what money's there, but that, generally speaking, yes, that sort of, sometimes developers will say, well, we'll build our own, we'll put our own park and then we'll maintain it for a while, so we won't give you a community, something like that. So it'll all depend upon the developer's appetite to maintain that facility going forward.
Well, we look forward to our little play park being done up then on one of our estates. It's got one swing on it.
Okay.
It's one swing, everything else has been ripped out.
Page 31, any queries?
Okay.
So which one's first, that one?
Let's drop the over.
Pardon?
This one's a Canadian view.
Yeah, so we're going through these as well.
Yep,
just that one, yeah. Now you've got those sheets in front of you now, so we're on Appendix 2.
Okay. Yes.
Pardon? Yeah.
Okay.
Which one?
So the.
So you've got the one page on its own. Where you can see the community.
It's that one there. Just that bit. Yeah. then there's a report annually, not applicable to that.
And this one's for each quarter.
For each quarter, quarter two and quarter three, yeah. Any queries on those? No? So we're on to this one now. Yeah? That one? Yes.
The sound of my voice.
Yes, Marnie.
So the operation street scenes, percentage of residents satisfied with the appearance of town centres, 97%, being the highest. Now it talks about surveys being taken from customers making contact with the council. Do you feel that that is a fair overview of the opinion of residents in Stafford? Because it's not the response that I've had.
I think the difficulty though is that's the historic way that we've always gathered the data, is from residents ringing to the authority. I understand what you're saying with that, but there's two ways of looking at it. It's a way of gathering data, but it's the same way we've always gathered it. We could go out and do some more wider surveys, but there will obviously be a cost involved with that. So.
I have to be honest, I think maybe some feedback from councillors may be a good idea as well, because a lot of complaints about the state of the place, the overflowing bins, dog food bags all over the place, litter has been, it's the worst I've ever seen it. Some areas seem to be better maintained than others, some areas look quite more neglected. And it just, for me, that is not a percentage that reflects the kind of comments that I hear on a, you know, weekly basis, daily basis, however interaction I have. It's not that. And I don't feel that this really is a good reflection of the opinions of the residents. I think this is an overinflated percentage margin. In my opinion.
Well, that is the percentage margin that we're getting in through following the phone calls that we're getting in. And bearing in mind that most people that ring into the authority are tending to ring you with an issue or a problem. So, you know, you would imagine that it would capture a lot of people that have got a problem and are not necessarily the council and not necessarily their best friends. But I do take on board what you're saying, but we do try and do work with Sol and other colleagues around bins being overflowing, bins being left out, things like that. Litter as well is an issue. We have a problem at the moment, and again, I think we've talked about it earlier, with vaping. An unintended consequence with disposable vapes is that they get, you know, the battery tags get ripped off and stuck on top of the bin. Seems to be the new sport now. Chewing gum used to be old sport, now it's that, and it just makes the place look a real mess. We have only got a limited resource in street scene. You know, I could, again, like the police, I could probably put another 20 people out on the streets and there'd still be issues. And some of the issues aren't necessarily our issues as well, so they'd be on other people's property, etc. But I do take on board what you're saying.
So if I can just come back with two
comments. Quickly.
Quickly. So I would say, I would ask firstly, how are these done? Is it like a question? Or is it a press A, press B? It's just a question.
Operator asks if you'd be willing to take a short survey again. So our contact centre, which isn't run by me, it's from elsewhere in the authority. So when the people ring, you say, well, we've got a couple of questions at the end. Would you mind answering them for us? They ask the question. That's how we get that result.
And then the second thing, I have raised previously getting QR codes put on bins so that people can directly report them.
Yeah.
Is that something that's been looked into?
We can certainly do it, but there's
Craig's nodding his
like
head.
There's a cost to it, and we've just finished doing a GIS survey of the bins in Cannock Chase, so we've mapped all the bins in Cannock. I'd like to do the same over here. And again, QR code is ideal for us, really, if you can QR code the bin, because that way you can scan it. But again, it's the putting that into the priority with everything else.
And I think, our beautiful borough, I think, isn't really fitting the name at the moment, so anything that could improve the way that the area looks, the town centres look, has got to be better for the residents, and it's got to be more uplifting from a mental health perspective.
Can I ask if the council has raised these concerns
with
the officer?
It's what it's been raised in this meeting.
Yes. Right, let's move on to Appendix 2, and it's environmental health. Any queries on that? Thank you for that, Jars. No?
The fact that the number of businesses inspected, there's only a small number involved.
The food business inspectors,
You know, these are takeaways and...
Do you want to come on that, Gabrielle?
Yeah, of course, I'm happy to clarify that. So the target at the end of quarter three was 75%.
Yeah.
We've hit 73%, which I think, as you'll recognise from last year, that's so much, such a great improvement from where we were 12 months ago.
Right.
So we just missed the target by 2%.
Okay.
That's what we're saying, there's just small numbers involved there. I'm confident, I know we'll have picked that up, and I'm pretty confident we'll be exactly on target by the end of quarter three.
Yeah, thank you.
So
yes.
Just a quick, or is that just a clarification? Is that because you've got more inspectors?
We're working in some different ways. We've got some programmes in place. We have got some additional resource, you're absolutely right. But also we've organised it differently over the last 12 months. We've put PDRs in place for people so they know exactly what their responsibility is and the number of businesses that they need to visit every month. So we've really looked at the way we're performing, the way we're working, you know, within the teams. And hopefully we're moving forward in the right direction.
Thank you. Right, next page, which is indicated, leisure, housing. Any queries? No? Thank you.
I just wanted to ask, you know, you mentioned the private water supply.
Yes, of course.
Do you know when that's going to start?
I should already have started the testing.
Sorry, what was the question?
Private water supply testing, has it begun now?
Yeah. Thank you. Philip, are you looking a bit... Have you got a query? No? Okay, thank you. Right, community safety and partnership on the next page. Any queries on that? No? And then the last page, building control. Any queries on that? No? Right, thank you very much for that. So now we're on to
quality status.
Yeah, isn't it?
Sorry, Chair.
Pardon?
Sorry, Chair, on that last one, building control.
It's me, building control.
If I hear of anything on the planning side, it's about the building control. Lacking just feedback from people generally, as in, if there's a complaint, if there's an issue, a developer's not doing what he should do, it doesn't always get followed up so easily.
I'm quite surprised to hear that. The
feedback we get is because you're lacking on building control inspectors.
Who's the feedback from? Sorry?
Members of the public, you know, when I'm talking to residents and things, when you see various issues, development issues and things. You can assure me that's not the case.
Well, development enforcement for development isn't done by building control, it's done by planning enforcement.
Right.
And that's where I think there's a gap. We have had, we did lose sadly a principal officer last year and we struggled to recruit, but actually we've just put a paper through leadership team where we're increasing the salaries, we've put some market forces increments in place. So that we're hopefully confident that we'll go out and we'll recruit a principal officer, which will then mean we've got actually a full complement of building control officers, which I have to say is very unusual. It's a very strong building control team for Count Chase and staff and Borough, I'm pleased to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody happy? Yeah? Okay, we'll move on to item C, which is on page 32. Has anybody got any questions or any queries? Everybody's looking happy. Yes, Sam.
Are we looking at a specific area? I wanted to look at the maps, if that's all right.
At the maps?
Yes. Is it worth giving a small overview, maybe?
Yeah,
I think this is a very positive report for the borough. Actually, what it says is that we have got good levels of air quality, you know, which isn't the case for a lot of areas and districts in Staffordshire. We have no air quality monitoring areas at all in place, and that's because our air quality meets the standards that are required across the area, which obviously is what we've got the detail down on the report. All of our air measurements meet the required parameters, so no air quality management areas, and this is obviously for 2023. So it's a kind of retrospective look that we have to supply DEFRA, and then we'll be in the process next of doing the report for 2024 with similar outcomes, I'm probably expecting.
Any more queries from anybody? I mean, we talk about the air pollution and it worries me when I think with all the, when we have got the accidents on the M6 and then we've got all these heavy goods coming through the town. And the it must change the air quality in Stafford Borough, you know. And do we get any compensation from Highways England for that?
There's no evidence to suggest that's impacting. This is obviously monitoring that goes on throughout the year. So there's nothing that suggests that that is actually having an impact. I mean, there is measurement around the M6 areas, I believe, which is exactly where you would expect there to be an issue. But we're not finding that there is an issue.
Right, okay. And I've already mentioned with you about the buses.
Yes.
Yeah, like leave it sitting there with their engines running and pouring out. Yeah. So
isn't it illegal? I think.
Well, we've had a discussion outside the committee about that. Sorry, did you cut? I can't remember who was first. Go on.
Looking at the map on page 74, I assume the numbers are where you're measuring it from.
Let me just get to that. Davis, the environmental health manager at the Borough and the district.
Welcome, David.
Thank you.
It's the last one, isn't it?
It's the last map we've got on there. And we've got numbers, I assume, are they this? That's the one,
so
stations are they where you're measuring it from?
Yeah, through you, Chair. These are locations of diffusion tubes.
Yeah.
So these will be mounted in locations adjacent to areas which are thought to be vulnerable to reduced air quality. Heavy road traffic, perhaps, is the main one.
Because I noticed they're quite peripheral. I mean, I live on West Way, and since the opening of the bypass, Unicorn Way, you might as well call West Way a main road. And the problem we have specifically, and I know it's a passage because I used to live in Bathgate, particularly with the roadwork there now, but West Way is going to carry on. We have traffic building up at both ends of West Way, as well as the through, since the new bypass has been built, particularly at high density times like first thing in the morning, school, that sort of thing. And there's absolutely no collection in that area. Who decides where to collect and how do you decide?
Can I answer that, Chair? The Environmental Health Department decide where the locations are, but we are continually reviewing those as development phases are completed and perhaps road traffic is placed into other areas, then there's no difficulty whatsoever. We're reviewing all the time, and if you want to perhaps have a conversation with me outside the meeting, we can look at
it affects us on the Newport Road, because they go to Tesco's and the Ringway. Traffic is just non-stop.
Yes, so we can review where those tubes are, and if necessary, we can bring in additional tubes as well. So they're passive monitors, and they're giving a guide of would say they're not as accurate as some other equipment, but they give us a picture across the borough.
Yeah.
And obviously this is where they were in 2023, is that correct? So it may be that they've, and I'm not certain of that, but it may be that they've actually moved. We've decided to change the location or the environmental health issue. You know, so that's a possibility, but obviously we can check that.
And I mean, the motorway, as was already been mentioned, only has to, and it gets, I mean, you just, it was gridlocked. In fact, I didn't make things in that area because it was simple.
Can you ask you about electric charging points? You know, my understanding is, I mean, they've just spent a lot of money at the Corp on Wildwood, and speaking to the estates manager, they wanted to put 16 electric charging points in there, but they couldn't. They could have put two in because this, and I don't understand what I'm talking, so please forgive me, but the system couldn't take it.
Yeah.
So is there a problem where we want to put charging points in, but we can't because... I don't know.
My team personally doesn't do that work, but we are involved in the climate change part of
it. Yeah, yeah, well, it's all tied up, isn't it?
It's very much Joss's team currently that do that. However, what I would say is, yes, there are massive infrastructure issues, and actually there are lots of authorities that are trying to move things forward, but actually it's the infrastructure that's a barrier to that.
Yes, yeah. Councillor Phillips, did you want to come in?
I just wanted to just mention that the reason why I would assume all the monitoring points have been put around the motorway is because it was only a few years ago that there were issues with the carbon monoxide coming off the motorway and levels being really, really extraordinarily high in I can't remember the area, forgive me. So that's why they started monitoring, and as you can see, they're all monitored near Altered housing. So that's probably why.
Yes.
I just say the trouble with Stafford is a bog, isn't it? It's a basin, so it will sink.
That's right. Which is what happened in that area that I can't remember.
I mean, just to put that into context, I remember a chief exec saying to me many years ago, Stafford would never get built if we were going to be built today because it's built on a floodplain. But there you go, we're here now and having to live with it. Has anybody got any more questions for Gabrielle and David? No? Quite happy?
Yeah.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Yeah, so we move on to the work programme.
Yeah,
the last item. And thank you for your patience. It's been a long meeting. And thank you. Yeah, so the work programme, has anything got anybody comments on it or anything they want to add?
A presentation sometime about the bereavement and loss and what they do.
Bereavement and loss, yeah. Can I just say to you, you know, I don't know whether anybody else went to the community and wellbeing at the county showground today, and can I say to you, I said to them, really, we should be having one in the summer and one in the winter. I think it's absolutely fantastic to see the number of people that was there picking up information, networking, and picking up information about their own community and well-being. I thought it was really, really good, and it was really well attended, wasn't it? I think this morning, I think they were pushing past one another. It was really... So I wanted to comment on that and just say a big thank you to everybody that took part in it. Pardon?
The cardiologists.
Yeah.
I'm a cardiac nurse specialist by background, and his talk was brilliant.
Was it?
Absolutely
yeah.
Brilliant.
It was really, really good. Yeah. So there's nothing really on the work programme. The only thing I'd like to comment in is, and I mean... between the county and the borough, and Anna will probably appreciate what I'm going to say now, and that is about the children in care and leaving care and housing situation. And I think it's something we should keep on our minds, actually, because it is a borough concern, you know, that we do house. And I know that we're doing a good job, Anna, please don't think that... But I think it's something that we need to keep our eye on, and probably we should put it on the work programme that we get a little bit of knowledge about these children, about their being looked after. So that's probably something that we could put on the work programme if everybody's in agreement. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah?
No? Yeah? Thank you.
I'd like to hear a little bit more about turning points.
Turning point.
You mentioned it in the presentation, and you know, as you've got some successes there, and I'd really like to find out about what you've been doing and what you've been doing, Anna.
Yes.
We can definitely do a presentation, maybe bring turning point along as well. But I think what would be useful is to touch on the input of all the other services as well, so
yes.
Social services, mental health, rural health services.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I just remind the committee as well, we've had Giles here, and you know, he's given us a good presentation and everything, but if anybody's got any queries, any questions really, not queries but questions about crime or anything, please make your presence known at the Police Crime Commissioners meetings, which takes place at the County Council. And I mean, I've sat on that committee for many years actually, and I never hear any of the councillors coming forward with any concerns they've got and anything. So anything to do with crime and everything, please take your questions, and you can go and speak in person, you know, at the meeting. So I think we've come to the end of the meeting. Can I say thank you, Anna, thank you, Josh, thank you, Craig, thank you, Gabrielle, and thank you, David, for your time. And good night, God bless, and safe journey home, everyone. Thank you.